Visitor centers at National Wildlife Refuges are very important. They're an opportunity to communicate with audiences about the natural and cultural resources that we protect. So we need to make sure that we have the right design and that visitor centers can enhance the visitor experience. I'm Danielle Ross Winslow with the Human Dimensions branch of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and this is the Conservation in HD podcast and is a collaboration with the National Conservation Training Center. So I'm here in the main interior building studio with Angelina Yost, who is the Vision and Urban Coordinator for the National Wildlife Refuge System. Hi, Angelina.
Hi.
We're going to talk to Angelina about her experiences with designing visitor centers for the Desert National Wildlife Refuge Complex. Can you tell us about Desert?
So Desert National Wildlife Refuge Complex is located in southern Nevada. There are four national wildlife refuges just outside of the city of Las Vegas. Desert is the largest one, over 1.5 million acres, and it is right on the boundary of the city itself, and it's the largest national wildlife refuge outside of Alaska. And then the other three are about an hour and a half outside of the city. Now, Las Vegas is a little unique because the city itself is surrounded by federal land, and because it's surrounded by federal land, if the city were to expand or grow, which it did tremendously in the last 10, 15 years, they had to pass an act of Congress in order to let developers use those lands. And so that act enabled a sale and auctioning of those public lands, and the money from that auction then went to conservation projects. On our wildlife refuges, we created three National Wildlife Refuge visitor centers. So it was a great opportunity to use that funding.
And there's a big tribal presence in the area?
There certainly is. There is the people in that area are commonly known as the Southern Paiute, and there are seven tribes, and they call themselves Nuuvi in their language. So the Nuuvi are located in the states of Utah, Nevada, and Arizona. The tallest mountain outside of the city, Mount Charleston, which is run by the Forest Service, is considered their birthplace. The second tallest range of mountains is located on Desert National Wildlife Refuge. And so those two mountain ranges hold a lot of importance to Nuuvi. Forest Service and the Fish and Wildlife Service decided to create these consultation meetings with all seven of the tribes. And at first, they just started talking about ways to help us if we were going to build a new trail or if they wanted to do a prescribed burn, and more about our management practices overall. But as we continued to meet with them, then we were able to really talk about other ways that they could collaborate with us. And so one of the ways is that we were building these three visitor centers, and so a great opportunity to get them involved in helping us create the right messages in our visitor centers.
And the first visitor services center you were designing was at Desert.
Now at Desert, by the time we came with the concept of really having them help us work with those exhibits, the contractors and our staff had already decided what the visitor center looked like and what the main themes were going to be and had already even started writing some of the content. So we had to do a lot of editing. We had to change even some of the panels entirely, move things around, delete whole paragraphs in order to make the panels, I think, more engaging because we're bringing in different perspectives. Not just what was interesting is when you go to your visitor centers, a lot of times they tend to be thematic in maybe one section on geology, one section on history, one section on the plants and the animals. It's really sectioned out, and there's maybe a paragraph or two about the Native American people. Well, in this case, as we met with Nuuvi, we realized the importance of using thematically throughout the entire visitor center how their presence is not just part of the past, not just needed to be in the history section, but woven throughout the entire messaging throughout the entire visitor center. So it was a really exciting opportunity late, but still we were early enough that we hadn't fabricated any panels. So we just had to change some text, add some photographs, and really convince the contractors to sort of change course on what we were doing. But a really great result at the end.
So it sounds like a little bit different of a process than sometimes with working with the refuge staff and the contractors. You spoke to it just a little now, but were there other challenges?
Oh, absolutely. It took a while to convince some of the staff and the contractors of the importance of treating Nwuvi as an equal stakeholder at the table. Contractors would prefer if, once they show us their examples, their exhibits, that we consult with each other, and then we come back with one voice, one person saying yes or no or change this or change that. What we were doing instead was we were not only inviting multiple staff members from various angles of the agency, but then also all these other 7 tribal members and a facilitator with all their different opinions and ideas. So it took longer. It took, you know, a lot more time to review and get everyone's consolidated input. I mean, that was difficult. In addition, their perspective sometimes is very different and much and philosophical and very personal, very different than the way Fish and Wildlife Service tends to message in their visitor centers. We have a lot more scientific, factual information. We create great intellectual connections with our visitors. And we try our best working with interpretive contractors to make those emotional connections. By bringing in the voice of Nwuvi, it made it so much easier. They naturally had that voice and that connection. It gave that opportunity for people to connect with the messages in different ways. Now, one example of a challenge was the very opening panel in Ash Meadows Visitor Center. So we had a panel there where we talk about welcome to Ash Meadows, an oasis in the Mojave Desert. Most of the panel in bright, nice colors talk about, you know, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and who we are as an agency and what our mission is. But on the side, even in different color to demonstrate that it's coming from a different voice, and we put on the top that, you know, this is the voice of Nwuvi. It talks about their perspective on the land, and it brings up the creator in the language in that paragraph. And there were some staff members and visitors don't agree with the fact that we put that right there at the same level, not like one is higher than another, but it does represent maybe not what most people in the agency may believe. They were a little reluctant. Maybe this was bringing in sort of a religious perspective, but in really taking some time to convince staff and outside partners and the public that it was important to bring their perspective in, because this was their home. This is where they lived. Just taking that time to explain the importance of this process in rebuilding bridges with this community by allowing them to be equal partners in the exhibits. Once we explained that to them, they helped them understand, but it was a challenge at first for people. It was hard for them not to be just factual. It was funny at the exhibits in Ash Meadows National Wildlife Refuge, when we started talking about the, I think it's 7 different habitat zones at Ash Meadows. And so when we got into explaining the different habitats, all of a sudden we fell back to what we were used to, which was bringing up the different plants and animals and definitions of the habitats. And we became very factual again. And I had to pause and think about ways to bring in their voice again. I had to pull out examples of, for example, saltgrass and how did Native Americans use saltgrass. And then I found an animal, chuckwalla, which is a lizard that lives in the Mojave Desert, a real big fat lizard that can sort of flatten its body on the rock. And they would use that as one of their food sources. And so bringing in those stories brings a personal story into their, how did they cook that lizard, where they buried it underground in a pit. So it was just much made the panels come more to life.
So over the course of time, where you started first with desert and having the Nwuvi involved in that a little later on in the process, and then went on to design Ash Meadows mm-hmm. and then Paranagat. Mm-hmm. What did that look like as you moved through the process with 3 different refuges?
You know, it was quite interesting. Because we brought them in halfway through desert, we definitely didn't want to do that at Ash Meadows and Paranagat. So we brought them on at the very beginning. Even before we started planning the visitor centers, we had already started the meetings and started developing those relationships so that we were ready to say to the contractors at the first meeting, here are our equal partners. They will help us drive the design of the visitor center, the materials, the look, and the building itself, as well as the exhibits. And that was a little shocking to the contractors at first, to have so many more people at the table makes it a longer, more difficult process. I think what happened at Paranagat that was very interesting was that we were even able to start meeting with Nuuvi to site location and site placement. We were early enough in Paranagat that they helped us not only get approval on the location, but was even able to bless that location for us. So that was really special to us. It was important to get their buy-in. So once we had an agreement on site placement, then when we met with the contractors, they even swayed the contractors to orient the building facing the east, because that's very sacred to them, where the front of the building should be facing east as the sun rises.
So just listening to you talk about your relationship with the Nuuvi reminds me of the International Association for Public Participation Spectrum of Engagement. We're on, you know, one end of the spectrum is where we just inform people and we provide them with information that helps them understand, you know, what we're doing and the alternatives we've looked at. When you move up, you know, it's where we consult with people. We might get some feedback on what they think about some alternatives, but we're still driving the bus in terms of the decision. Then on that far end of the spectrum is that empower, where we're actually empowering the key stakeholder to be the decision maker.
Yeah, that was really evident in our process, especially when we started working at Paranagat National Wildlife Refuge, the last one, because we were taking a lot of those lessons learned. And at Paranagat, we finally decided that we'd really like to involve Nuuvi so much that we wanted to represent their philosophy of life. And they have a philosophy which they were calling the viewing life in the 10 directions, not just looking north, south, east, and west, but also looking up and down, past, present, and future, and inside of yourself. And so to explain that in a panel is very difficult. But we tried in a number of different ways, and the contractor really liked the idea and got excited. And so they showed us this artistic model of how it might explain or give people a chance to be part of that philosophy. And we brought it to the Nuuvi, and they did not like it at all. It was really, it did not resonate with them. And at that point, it was very difficult for the contractor because they're artists themselves and they are invested in their product. They've worked really hard to design something that they were hoping we would, you know, in all the different panels, receive them well. And that we were, thankfully, we had a visual information specialist, Wendy Smith, that was our liaison with the tribes anyhow. And she is an artist herself. She's really able to sit down with them and talk with them and really draw out from them what they were thinking and imagining that this model could look like. Even that was, of course, very difficult. There's seven people in the room, seven different tribes. Everyone needs to have an equal voice and needs to feel like their voice was heard. But she did her best, and there was disagreement. But at the end, there was consensus on this concept. So we went from that process of involving them and asking for their opinions in desert and having them help us create new language to having them equal stakeholders of the orientation and site location of the building to actually even creating their own exhibit in our visitor center. It's amazing. It's an amazing place. I really invite people to go up there and see it. It is out of the way, an hour and a half outside of Las Vegas, but it's very unique, I would think, than any other visitor center that people have been to.
Well, maybe this might entice people to go. I will read you what Nevada Public Radio blog post by journalist Andrew Corrali said about this. He was talking about Paranagat, and he writes about the landscape and the spring water lakes, the meadows, the cottonwood groves, and about the wildlife. And then he goes on to say, and I quote, "The human elements here have their appeal too. The Refuge's Visitor Center is a marvel in itself. It's a striking but respectfully scaled piece of site-conscious architecture that houses a remarkably intelligent and sensitive exhibit that has all the latest tactile gadgets and also spotlights the previous presence of native peoples on the land."
Yeah, that quote really, it made my heart sing to read that. I definitely feel like I made connections with people. But what I did learn from that article as well is that the way people interpret the messages that you are trying to write, they take away something different than you may have expected. Everyone takes away something different from their own point of view or their biases that they may internally have. And one of the biggest messages for every visitor center is that the Native people's presence is still there today. They were here in the past, yes. They are present here with us today. You can try really hard to teach a message or say something that you want them to carry home with them, but they aren't always carrying home exactly what you wish they were. They may bring something back home just a little bit different, depending on where they're coming from.
Any other key takeaways or lessons learned that you would like to share?
Yeah, sure. I would say it was definitely a rewarding experience, but it does take time. I would say the key thing I'd recommend to folks is to first make sure you are making the right connections, no matter what community you're working with, but especially with a tribal community. It's a structure that we're very unfamiliar with. Sometimes it seems like you've got the right person that you're talking to, it may not be the right person in our case, where they would come to the table, share their thoughts and ideas, and gather what we were talking about, and they'd have to bring it back and tell everyone else in the community so that the community felt like they were a part of the process, not just one person was part of the process. And often it was the cultural coordinator. That's the title that they gave that person, because the cultural coordinator would listen to their elders and to the people in the community, try to represent them as best they could, and then bring it back to the community, what they learned and how it was being applied. And if they didn't do that, and it didn't happen with one of our reps, they had to find a new person. So it is a learning process. You can't just make it happen overnight. Getting the key people involved is very important, to the point where we had to bring in a facilitator from Portland State University. Jeremy Spoon, he's an anthropologist. He had worked with the tribes for a long time. Because we had 7 different tribes, they each had to have that equal voice and felt like they were heard. And he helped make sure, going around the whole table, making sure everyone was equally represented and was heard. And there was approval and buy-in throughout the process. So it was really helpful to have someone that they knew that was very thoughtful in the process and was very, thoughtful about working with them as an anthropologist, and someone they really trusted. And so, of course, like any relationship, it's building that trust with them. From desert to Ash Meadows to Paranagat, you can almost tell how each one we got more and more information from Nuuvi and got deeper stories that were more in depth. We had a deeper connection each time. So it's very evident as you visit all 3 of them. But really, it was just an honor to be part of the process and be working with such a special group. So I know that NCTC also has a lot of different training courses on working with various types of media, including working on exhibits. And I know their different training courses include the design process as well as the fabrication process and all the steps in between for whether you're making a poster, a film, a video, or exhibits. In addition, there's an upcoming National Fish and Wildlife Service Communications and Visitor Services workshop on September 13th through 15th, and that's also at NCTC. I know there's a section on there, a theme that we're talking about, working with diverse audiences, and there's a couple of different sessions there specifically about working with tribes. So check that out. If there are other questions or anyone else wants to learn more, please feel free to contact me. It's Angelina_Yost, Y-O-S-T, at fws.gov. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Angelina, for being here with us today. If people want to contact the Human Dimensions branch with any questions or comments, you can email us at human_dimensions. Or visit our Human Dimensions website. The web address is my.usgs.gov/HD. Thank you for joining us. Hey everyone, if you were just listening and thinking that you'd like to see the visitor centers at Desert Complex, you should definitely go visit. But if you can't do that, you can check out images that we've put on HDGov. We have a webpage with not only photos, but links to other articles and resources that relate to this topic. So check it out. The link is in the description, either on iTunes or on the FWS Digital Library site. Thanks again.